warm welcome to our Thursdays with David Foster Wallace series, where we every week investigate the infamous Infinite Jest. We've already finished the novel, and you have landed on one of our after episodes. You can find a chronological walkthrough of the TDFW series at relevanceofliterature.com/infinite-jest. Today's episode is a fun one for me as a linguist as we transition into a more serious topic next week. Thank you all for continuing to comment and reach out and continuing to be supportive of my work on Patreon. It means a ton. A couple of announcements before we get started here. First, voting for December Dickens has started. If you would like to contribute to which books we read in December, go to the link in the show notes, relevanceofliterature.com/notes, and feel free to speak your mind there. We also have announced our upcoming reads for Horrifying Classics, and we're getting through that reading list slowly but surely on the back end of the show. And to look at those four fun reads for October, you can just visit our homepage. Also, vocab for Infinite Jest has been completely updated all the way through the novel. If you want to check out that page or need further guidance with vocabulary, that link is in the show notes as well. I decided to guide today's episode with my questions because I realized that while I was reading Infinite Jest and getting my jots and tittles right with figuring out when and where DFW uses the word phantods, I was creating assumptions about the word and its usage that are not necessarily correct. Getting into our first question then, what is the etymology of the word phantod? Did DFW make up the word phantod? The short answer to this assumption is no. DFW did not invent the word phantod. I totally thought this for a long time, by the way. So over time, the usage of the word phantod, and especially howling phantods or howlers, has become a sort of emblem for the novel Infinite Jest. And in that way, I would attribute most modern usages and meanings to the word back to DFW and Infinite Jest, but no, the word is actually much older than the novel. Interestingly, the noun phantod, most normally seen in the plural form phantods, has a really mysterious, cloudy, unagreed-upon history. To start, one thing that most people agree upon is that the word first popped up in both American and British English sometime around the mid-19th century. Some people, as a grammarist article in the show notes points out, believe that the first usage was in the novel The Adventures of Harry Franco by Charles Briggs in 1839. That excerpt reads, quote, "You have got strong symptoms of the phantods. Your skin is so tight that you can't shut your eyes without opening your mouth," unquote. But others believe that the first usages could have been as early as 1835, according to one fan's digging on Google. I personally think that the most secure first usage does come from Charles Briggs because the other two usages seem fake to me, and I'm not convinced that we're sure that the other two sources are accurately dated, as it seems pretty weird to me that those two sources would even be on the internet in the first place, rather than some archive in a London basement somewhere. At least with the Briggs novel, we've got a publication date and know the source for sure, so I'm going to go with the first usage being in America in 1839. In any case, the mystery of this word's origins goes quite well with Infinite Jest, which is an incredibly complex, and I'll say it mysterious, novel. From my research on the word, it does seem that fans are the ones that drew out the word and connected it to the novel, not DFW himself necessarily, but I will say that his usage of the words phantods and howlers and howling phantods is quite high, so maybe he brought it on himself in some ways. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, a fun fact that I found from poking around on the Howling Phantods blog is that Infinite Jest uses a vocabulary of 20,584 words, which I find pretty spectacular. Now, as you longtime listeners all know by now, I am a fan of the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary. That is the dictionary that I use whenever I need to look up a word, especially if it is for a project that is more academic, like this one. The etymology in the OED for the noun phantod says, quote, "an unmeaning formation suggested by fantastic and fantasy, compare fantig." decoding the code here, all of that means that word scholars think that the noun phantod must have come up when people needed a word or otherwise started making up a word, combining fantastic and fantasy. I see the relation there, but think that the last bit of this etymology I just read out is the most interesting part of the whole thing, which is that there's a very similar word, fantig, it's spelled fantigue, that is a British dialectical term from the 19th century, also with mysterious origins, but with a meaning almost identical to that of phantod as it is used in Infinite Jest. The OED defines fantig as a state of anxiety or excitement, an instance of this, especially a fit of ill humor. Phantod, on the other hand, is defined as, quote, a crotchety way of acting, a fad, unquote. Or if we go down to the adjective definition here, quote, fidgety, restless. I like the dictionary.com definitions, though, which read, quote, usually the phantods, a state of extreme nervousness or restlessness, the willies, the fidgets, unquote, and two, quote, sometimes phantods, a sudden outpouring of anger, outrage, or a similar intense emotion, unquote. The latter definitions that I just read, I think, get to the heart of some of the passages that I have been pointing out for the last few episodes on Infinite Jest and from that book. I will excerpt a couple of them here, quote, on page 420. The USA phantods are meaning fear, confusion, standing hair. It's obviously a quote from Murraith and Steeply as they're talking. Page 844, quote, one side of Jack Jay's face goes in and out of a tortured grimace that doesn't affect the other side of his face one bit, something that's always given Gately, the phantods, unquote. Page 874, quote, he spoke loudly because they both wore earplugs of expanding foam. People's nightmare cries gave them the phantods, unquote. And that is talking about Kenkel and his compatriot here. Alrighty, let's take a quick break, and afterwards we will be back with some more questions about this strange word. I don't know about you, but I am a sucker for unboxing videos. I'm a minimalist, okay, but I like it when other people unbox stuff because everyone benefits. I get to see a cool new wow product without having to collect more stuff, by the way, and they get to keep that stuff for themselves or give it away, whatever. Win-win. But recently, I have been trying my hand at my own bookish unboxing videos because, let's face it, I buy and read a lot of books. If y'all want to get your foot in the door and have access to my unboxing videos and also some upcoming giveaways, because I'm still a minimalist, please help me out here. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/relevanceofliterature. Welcome back. Second question. How about the words the howlers or the howling phantods? I guess those are phrases, technically. Here are some excerpts using those phrases in the novel. Page 883, quote, none of this has sunken in enough to give him the howlers, unquote, talking about Gately. Page 962, quote, he clamped his fine, clean hand over his mouth and produced a high-pitched noise that frankly gave Pat the howlers, his right eyelid twitching, unquote. That is the district attorney in Pat's office. Page 45, roaches gave him, Orin, the howling phantods, unquote. And page 509, quote, i.e. bobbing in his chair, which produced a kind of rapid rodential squeaking that gave Hal and Condensa the howling phantods as he sat there, kitty corner from Pemulus, also waiting, unquote. Starting with a look into the OED, the word howler is listed as a noun, but none of the many definitions fit what we're looking for here. My favorite of them is definition 2A, which places a howler as, quote, a person hired to wail at a funeral or the bedside of the dying, unquote, which is a career that I'm sure has an amazing history that we unfortunately cannot get into in this episode. The OED also has no entries for howling phantods, unfortunately, so we move on in our search. I continued with just doing a general Google search of howlers, and it turns out that the Howlers is a music group from the UK, so you all can let me know in the comments how good they are. but I could find no other similar definitions to fantods from Merriam-Webster nor from dictionary.com, leading me to conclude that DFW must have codified this usage of howlers to be an abbreviation of sorts of the howling fantods, the phrase, which is actually a term that DFW reportedly got from his mother. There's an Atlantic article linked in the show notes about terms like the howling fantods and greebles, those little lint bits that DFW's mother would often say. Apparently, DFW and his mother had a close relationship, and DFW reportedly got his love of grammar and words from her. So maybe we have a potential origin with his mother. And as a last fun question for us today, I wanted to ask, what does an appropriate modern usage of the word fantod look like? So I wrote a couple of dialogues to try to fit the definitions that we played around with today, starting with what the OED had to offer and then moving to our preferred dictionary.com definition. The first scenario is at the train station. A dad is picking up his daughter, who is really, really grumpy because she doesn't like traveling. The dad says to the daughter, quote, "Based on the look on your face, I'd wager I could see those fantods from a mile away." Second scenario is when you are out and about and spot someone strange. You can use fantods deictically here, meaning that you can gesture to that person while saying, quote, "Do you see that person over there? They're giving me the fantods." Third scenario, if you ever have to clean out expired food or gross food from your fridge, you could say, quote, "Gee whiz, Batman, those smells are sure giving me the howlers." And to wrap up here, aside from our completed vocabulary list and the show notes below, there are also a few general resources for reading Infinite Jest, especially if you're reading it for the first time, that you should definitely have. The first is a much better vocab list than ours. It's called Definitive Jest. The second is a blog called The Howling Fantods, of course. Both of those are gems of resources when it comes to reading this book. Thank you all so much for listening. I will see you on Monday with another awesome episode, and then again next Thursday for our third #TDFW after episode. See you then, y'all. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.